Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning and for all the different specials we've been able to be ministered to today. What a blessing it's been just being in church, and I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 17, Luke in chapter 17, as we're ending our month of November. Our month of November is a Thanksgiving month, and one of my favorite months of the year. I have several, but one of my favorite months of the year is a month of Thanksgiving, and what a difference being thankful can make in a person's life. And Luke in chapter 17, if you found that, if you'd stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 11 down to verse 19. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 19. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole.'" And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, what a blessing it's already been just being in church. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to assemble ourselves together and for all that have taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church today. Thank you for those that have worked hard in preparing musical songs and congregational songs, that we would be blessed by the message of song. And now as we look into this passage of Scripture, Lord God, I know that you have a message for all that are here today. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. 10 lepers. Jesus gave healing. 9 failed to return to give thanks. 9 out of 10 of the lepers that were healed failed to give thanks. 1 of the 10 did what all should have done. Verse 17 and 18, I think it's clear that Jesus would use this to teach his disciples. And he said in verse 17, "And Jesus answering said," after the one came back, "where they're not 10 cleansed?" His disciples are around him. Now, can I tell you that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing? I believe that he prepared every circumstance and every situation that he would face, and everything that the disciples would face was prepared that they would learn some great biblical truths before he would ascend up to heaven. His apostles were to be prepared to carry on the work that Christ would establish for the New Testament church. And so he was teaching them and allowing them to experience certain things. No doubt this particular experience was one that he wanted them to learn from. And likewise, as he wanted his apostles to learn from this, he wants every born-again believer to learn from it. We have it recorded in the Scriptures for each one of us here today that's going to hear the Word of God being preached, God has something that He wants you to learn from this. And so in doing that, He said to them, were there not 10 cleansed, and where are the 9? That ought to bring a question mark into every one of our lives. God did something so miraculous, and He did something to help them, and 10 were lepers, and all 10 were healed. Where are the 9 that failed to return to give Him thanks and glory? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. What made the one different? As we look at this event in the life of Christ where He heals 10 lepers, what made the one different? I think in our minds, every one of us ought to be thinking, why wouldn't they do this? If you're raised in America, somewhat of a Christian nation, you've been raised under the principles of the Word of God. This country was founded upon Christianity. Don't let anybody tell you any different than that. Look at our Constitution. Look at the laws that we live by. Can I tell you, they come from the laws of God. They come from the Bible. The Ten Commandments still should be a visible part of every government agency and every government office. That's where they come from. And so if you've been raised in America, you've been raised in the land that God has blessed mightily, everyone ought to be giving God thanks. But are there 9 out of 10 that's not? The Bible says in verse 12 here that there were 10 lepers. Now you have to understand that all were suffering from an incurable and very painful disease. If you had leprosy, death was imminent. There's no cure for it. There's still no cure for leprosy. It was a painful disease where their body would just start deteriorating. It all depends on how healthy you were, how long you would be able to survive leprosy. Very contagious, very painful, certain death. There were 10 of them together, all 10 lepers. Verse 13, this is what they all had in common. Verse 13, and they lifted up, all 10 of them lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. Somehow they had heard about this miracle worker. They had heard that there was a man that was traveling that was able to cure leprosy, that he was able to even raise the dead. There was something different about this man. Possibly this was the Messiah. This was the Savior of the world that was prophesied and promised in the entire Old Testament for the Jews to know that He was coming. Possibly this was He. These 10 lepers all sought mercy. None wanted to die. All would do or say whatever that was presented to them to live and be cured. I guarantee if you had leprosy today, you would be seeking any cure that would be available. Be willing to do whatever and say whatever if you had this disease of leprosy. All 10 of them sought mercy, and their best chance of being healed was in this healer that had come into Jerusalem. And they come before Him, and lepers could not be in the crowd. They would have to stay afar off from the crowd. They would have to go around crying out, unclean, stay away. I'm a leper. I have a very contagious disease. They would have to dress the part. But from a distance, they would yell out, have mercy, have mercy. Verse 14, all listened to what He said and told them to do. and all would obey his command. And when he saw them, he said unto them, this is his message to them. They're listening now. Go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, that was part of realizing if you had leprosy or you did not have leprosy, you would have to, by law, go to the priest and they would determine if what you had was leprosy or not. If they determined that you had leprosy, then you had to be removed from civilization. You would have to cry out whenever you got around anyone, any other person, unclean, unclean. And he says, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, all 10 of them would listen, all 10 of them would go, they were cleansed. Their obedience to what he told them to do brought them physical cleansing. Wow. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the excitement? I mean, their skin was deteriorating and they had to cover up their skin with cloth because the blood was coming out. They were dying. Their bodies were diseased. It was deteriorating. They cry out, and this man who called himself Jesus said, I hear you. Go show yourself to the priest. And as soon as they would go to show themselves to the priest, as they were going, they started to feel something. They started to experience that the wounds, which were leprosy and white, started to change color. As they were going to show themselves to the priest, I mean, they were going in that direction. They was being obedient to what God told them to do. And they started experiencing something that they had never experienced before. The leprosy was being cured. All 10 of them would have been very excited. All 10 of them would have been very joyful. All 10 of them would have been, should have been thankful. To realize what was happening to them could only come from deity. Because there was no cure. All 10 of them should have realized that what they were experiencing was an act from God, a miracle from God. And this person that told them to do this had to be the Messiah. What they should have been thinking. Verse 15 and 16. What only one of the 10 did. And one of them. 9 of them didn't do it. They all experienced the same thing. But only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, all of them experienced it. All of them saw it. All of them felt it. Turned back. He stopped from going to the priest to take the time and to give the effort to return. And he fell on his face before Jesus and gave thanks and glory. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. It's recorded in the Bible for us to learn from. Jesus had his disciples around him, his apostles around him, for them to learn. Why only this one? What was different? Now, the Bible gives us a little insight. What was different about this one, Jesus said in verse 16, and he was a Samaritan. What Jesus reveals here is that this one, the difference between the 10, the other 9, was that this one, at least this one, was a Samaritan. Somewhat underprivileged. The Jews hated Samaritans. They would live separate from the Samaritans. The Samaritans would have accepted this, and now they would not like the Jews. But the Jews still felt like that they were deserving of whatever came their way because they were Jews. We're the seed of Abraham. They continue to live in Old Testament understanding of God's chosen people, thinking themselves to be privileged. But this one was a Samaritan. And then verse 18, we find it again, the difference that Jesus says here. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this, and he calls him a stranger. Not a Jew, but a Samaritan. See, the Jews at this particular time in history had drifted from the God of Abraham. They not only had drifted from the law, but they had drifted from the promises in looking for the Messiah. They had established their own set of religious rules. They had decided that they would worship God the way that they wanted to worship God. They would live the way that they wanted to live. And they had drifted from the teachings of God's word. The 9 had lost sight of God's will for them to give thanks. Can I tell you something that we today, 21st century Christianity, our society is drifting away from acknowledging the God of the Bible and choosing a different way to worship, choosing a different set of rules to live by, and denying the existence of God. If you deny the existence of God, how can you stop and give him thanks? They had drifted. Jesus, according to the New Testament, has given to us this instructions how that we should never lose sight of who God is, and we should never lose sight of giving him thanks and glory, or if you will, praise, acknowledging him for all that he is and all that he does. Amen. Ephesians in chapter 5, and I'm going to go rather quickly here, so write these verses down or just listen intently, because this is what the Bible says, something that we cannot lose sight of today in this 21st century. Ephesians in chapter 5. In verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Can I tell you what you've experienced here in the music has been making melody unto the Lord, thanking God for the message of song, thanking God for how it just touched your spirit, it touched your lives, and caused you to want to rejoice and to praise God for what you heard in song. But not only that, he says in verse 19 and verse 20, rather, giving thanks. Good music will lead you to be thankful to God. Good music will remind you of something that God has done for us, something that God has blessed us with, a message, a thought, something to be able to say, thank you, God, for that message. Thank you, God, for that song. But he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you give God thanks if you don't know who God is? Colossians, the very next couple books over, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians in chapter 3 in verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So what God would have you do, that's love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Can I tell you, if you are not looking to God and being thankful to God, you will not love as God would have you to love. You will not be able to forgive as you have been forgiven. Because you're not acknowledging who God is and what he's done for you. And if you are acknowledging who God is, what he's done for you, and you are giving thanks, if you're being thankful for what God's done for you, how can you not do that for somebody else? And you won't if you're not giving God praise, honor, glory, thanks. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, as you're doing everything, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whew, that's good stuff. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says this: in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If this is the will of God for all of us to be aware of God, aware of who he is, and giving glory and thanks to him, if this is the will of God for all of us, can I tell you that it is one of Satan's number one things to keep you from? He kept 9 out of 10 who were healed of leprosy from returning to give him the proper thanks and the proper glory that deity deserves. Only one turned to him. Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13. Can I tell you, it ought to be on your mind right now. You ought to be thinking about this, because how long has it been since you just bowed before the Lord Jesus and gave him thanks and honor and glory? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says this: by him, therefore, let us, by Jesus Christ, by our Savior, by our Redeemer, by our great high priest, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice, it means it's going to cost you something. It means it's going to take an effort. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is what it is. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It's all through the Bible. The Samaritan had not drifted away from God's will for him to give thanks to God. The difference he had learned, and he would not drift away from God's will. Yeah. Without learning to be thankful to God and praising him, we will not continue to serve him. You won't. Find somebody that used to be in church, that used to serve God, that used to want to live the Christian life, and it's not. Can I tell you one of the first things that happened? They stopped acknowledging God and being thankful for what he had done for them and for who he simply is. See, God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. He's worthy of our to give him glory just simply because of who he is. He is God. He is deity. Without him, we wouldn't be able to have the air that we breathe. Without him, this heart would not continue to beat. He holds the whole world together. He has blessed us beyond our understanding. We cannot thank God enough. Jesus wanted his disciples to realize what this Samaritan did. Yeah, he did not drift. It would take effort. Can I tell you that all 10 of them wanted to hurry up and get to the priest so that the priest could deem them healed so they could go home to their families? You say, well, why? Maybe I can understand that. I can understand where 9 of them were so excited about it that they wanted to get home to their families, and so they just didn't have enough time. They didn't prioritize what had taken place. They were thinking about themselves. They was thinking about what he had done for them and what they wanted to do for themselves. There's always an excuse on why I didn't take the time and the effort to drop on my knees, on my face before Christ, to return and give him thanks. How often has God done something for us and we've just taken it as being thankful for it, but never returning to acknowledge him? Because that was the key. To give thanks to God, to glorify God, not just to be thankful. Can I tell you, we live in a society where most people raise their children to tell somebody thank you, to be thankful, but they're not thankful to the most important of all, God. It would take effort. Return to a prayer closet where you ask God to do something for you, where you prayed and asked God. When God does that, priority number one is to acknowledge what he's done for us. And before I go and enjoy the answer to prayer, I need to do as this one Samaritan did, as Jesus wanted to give an example to the disciples. Return to your prayer closet, bow down before him, and give him praise, give him honor, give him glory. When I go to my prayer closet, that's the first thing that I want to do. I want to just acknowledge how thankful I am to God for the privilege that I have to come before him. Thank you for my salvation. Amen. Salvation gives you an opening into the very presence of God. The priesthood of all believers is what Jesus Christ brings to us. When you get saved, you have access to a heavenly Father who loved you, who sent his Son to die for you. Be thankful to him. Bow before him. Give him praise. And everything that you acknowledge, every blessing that you have in life, can I tell you, we need to acknowledge it's coming from God. And I need to take the time and the effort to bow before him. Amen. Give him praise, honor, and glory. It would take an awareness of deity. Go back with me here. I'm almost done. I want you to finish here with me. It would take an awareness of deity. Verse 15. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. A awareness of deity. Then at verse 18 and 19, he fell down at Jesus' feet. We need to be taught not to just say thank you, but to acknowledge and to praise God. In the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, 1 Chronicles chapter 23, you don't have to turn there, but let me turn there for you. As David and Solomon built the temple, and David brought the ark back, and he was establishing proper worship. The priestly tribe, the tribe of Levi, were the ones that were to lead in worship. They were the ones that was to lead in prayer. They had access into the presence of God. And so in establishing what they were to do, the Bible tells us here in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, because this is the same God that we look to today. In chapter 23 of the book of 1 Chronicles in verse 30, the Bible says this, and to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at even. The responsibility of the priests who had access to God every morning to stand and to thank and to praise the Lord, and every evening they were to stand and to praise and to thank the Lord, and to offer all burnt offerings unto the Lord in the Sabbaths and the new moons and set of feasts of the number of according to the order commanded unto them continuing before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the holy place and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. The service that they had to do that would affect the nation, the entire nation of Israel, as they were the only ones that have access to God. What God was looking for the priests was for them every morning and every evening to stand and to give thanks and to praise our God. Every born-again believer has been given the very same privileges of the Old Testament priest. It's the priesthood of all believers. What that means is all of us have access to an almighty, holy God. And what God wants from all of us more than anything else is every morning and every evening is to acknowledge Him, to give Him thanks and glory. Every morning. Can I tell you, if we would do that, it would change our lives. It would make you aware of God all day long. It would make you aware of God when you're sleeping through the night. You might have a more peaceful night's rest if you know that you're right with God. Have His hand upon your life. It's important that we learn to give God thanks and glory. Real quickly, he says this. The blessing that Jesus bestowed upon the one, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He heard that from the very voice of God. The blessing of wholeness, or of being full, having all that God had for him. He had the promise of God that he would have the fullness, the wholeness of what God had for him. All were cleansed physically, but only one received this promise. Whether the leprosy returned to the other nine, the Bible doesn't say. Bible doesn't say. But this one had the promise of God that it would not return to him, because he had been made whole and God promised it to him. There, this one was assured of the blessings of God. Looking to God and praising Him allows us to rejoice in the Lord every day. Being aware of the presence of God and His blessings every day, it makes a difference. Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I think there's many here today that just need to stop drifting away with society and come back to the acknowledgement of who God is and giving Him thanks and giving Him praise every morning and every evening. It'll make a difference. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Powerful example that Jesus wanted all of His disciples to learn from. It's still a powerful example of what God wants every Christian to learn. Do not drift away from acknowledging God and giving Him thanks and glory every day. Every day. You'll not give Him thanks unless you know Him. Do you know Him? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, He wants you to get to know Him. He wants you to call upon Him to be your Savior. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Can you go back to a point in time that you have called upon Christ to know Him as your Savior? If you cannot do that, we invite you to come forward this morning in an invitation. There'll be somebody here at this altar who will take a Bible and show you what you need to do to know that you're saved, so that you will know who it is that you're acknowledging every day and giving thanks and glory to. If you've drifted away, come home today. Come back to the Lord. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You, Lord God, for this event in Scripture with these 10 lepers. And God, what a lesson that You have for us today through this. Pray that we would all learn this and receive this and be committed to every day giving You thanks and honor and glory. Bless in this invitation now, in Jesus' name.